we salesmen still had some of his friends told that we really did need these things. And we said, now here, supposing that we set up a kind of a foundation instead of this informal committee of you gentlemen and ourselves, and we incorporate this as a foundation, then great big givers can put their money in here and it'll be all tax-free, and that'll get at least enough money in so that we can do this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and a few of these other things. Our idea's begun to contract quite a little by then. So we went to work at it, and we organized a foundation. And a prominent lawyer gave his services free, and he said he never saw anything like it. They had two classes of trustees, non-alcoholic trustees and alcoholic trustees. And he said, as a lawyer, how would you know which is which? I mean, what legally is an alcoholic and what legally is a non-alcoholic? Well, it was finally we got the foundation, and the great day had come, and we were all ready to pour in the money, and we even got a list of names from these people. And again, we started calling on prominent people to contribute to this thing, and this time we had a real front for it. And still, not a dime came into the Alcoholic Foundation, and it's all as splendid. Another providential thing. So then we fellas in New York had to raise among ourselves the money to do the book. That is, to feed me and hire a girl, and we were going by this time to print the book ourselves, which was another piece of foolishness, people thought. Authors didn't. So, actually, I went out to the New York crowd, another fellow and I, and we said, well, now here, we just got to keep control of this book, and so let's organize a little company. See, I was still in this promoting mode. And we'll organize a little company, we'll call it the Works Publishing Company, and you put your money in, and out of the very first income, we'll pay all you fellas right off quick. Meanwhile, two of what are now the first chapters of the book had been roughed out, and they had been shown down at Harper's. And Harper's had indicated that they might pay something like $1,500 advance royalty. Well, that kind of gave us a clue that they thought that the book might be good, although only two chapters were done. Well, we realized that if I ate up all the royalties, there wouldn't be any more to answer the inquiries from all the drunks. So that was out, and that laid the ground for our publishing book itself. So, then we went up to a very large national magazine, and they said that when the book was done, they'd publish a piece about it. So, on the strength of this tremendous ad the national magazine was going to run, and on the idea that Harper said it was a good book, and these drunks were going to get their money back pronto, right out of the first earning, the Works Publishing Company was launched, and we started writing this book. Well, some people say I'm the author of the book, but I deny it. I was just the umpire of the differences of opinion out of which it was arose. You know, I'd write a chapter, and we'd bring it over to meetings, and boy, they'd pull it all apart so that the book really represented our group experience. And little by little and laboriously, it was put together, and we even made a pre-publication copy to it, and we took it to religious bodies, the Catholic Committee on Publications, and we took it to psychiatrists and doctors and judges and housewives just to be sure that we didn't have anything that would gripe anyone in there. And finally, the great day was come. And we had a little money left, and we went over to the printer, and we said, well, we're going to want a lot of these books. You've got to print up 5,000 of them. And the printer looked askance. We didn't have very much money, but of course we intimated we had this close connection, this Rockefeller, so he printed them. And then we went up to the National Magazine, and we said, well, folks, we're all ready to shoot now. And the editor I talked with, they looked at me a little blankly. Oh, yes, he said, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson, about this, about that alcoholic work. Why, he said, you know, I'm so dreadfully sorry. He said, you were up here, I realized, 8-9 months ago. And I said, we print that piece. But he said, you know, I took that up in a staff meeting, and they thought it would be altogether too controversial, and they decided to do nothing about it. Well, here we're stuck with 5,000 books, which weren't paid for. That year, the Wilsons got moved out of their house in Clinton Street because they couldn't pay the rent. And we were in an awful jam. And all those drunks who contributed or wondered when they'd get the money back. And so, really, something had to be done. So we thought we'd advertise just a little. So we got a paid ad in the magazine, in New York Times Book Review. And our final money, we spent it in this way. It was about $500, and this one fellow was more promotional-minded than I, and he said, now, the thing to do is to print up a lot of postal cards, and it says, I got a fellow, he's just come out of one of the asylums here, a young Irishman, but he knows Gabriel Heater, and we'll get him blow to Gabriel Heater, and Gabriel Heater will put on a talk about Alcoholics Anonymous over the radio, and we'll send this shower of postal cards to doctors all over the country for them to listen and also tell them about the book, and that'll move enough books so that we can get some money back and we get this thing straightened out. Oh, by this time, you know, in the back of the book is this post office box, which used to be down Beasley Street, New York, and this fellow Morgan Ryan, we were very skeptical about him. He did get the date with Heater. He was going to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous, but we were so scared that Ryan would get drunk that we put him in a club in a room at the New York Athletic Club under an AA guard so that he wouldn't escape before the broadcast. And the great day came, and Gabriel Heater told the world about Alcoholics Anonymous in 3 minutes, and the shower of postal cards went out, and then we waited for the great wash bag. And I can remember little Ruthie Hott, who became our first national secretary. Some of you will remember receiving letters from her. And we go over there after waiting for 2 or 3 days, and we look in the post office box, and we see just a few cards there. And, well, we said, after all, there must be a tremendous sack of mail out back there. And we inquired, and there was nothing. There were a dozen postal cards, and about 9 of them were from Doctors Tanninger, some of them obviously Crocs themselves, and 2 book orders. So we were absolutely flat broke, and thus was Alcoholics Anonymous, and the book Alcoholics Anonymous born. And little by little we pulled out. The Liberty article came along, and enough books were sold so that we could pay the salary of one girl in an office to answer the inquiries. In fact, you heard today about one fellow who got in on that Liberty article. And then in the spring of 1940, meanwhile, we hadn't heard from Mr. Rockefeller at all. And he decided all of a sudden he'd give a dinner to Alcoholics Anonymous, tell his friends what it was all about. Well, we were overjoyed. We figured, well, probably our troubles were all over. So He gave the dinner, and a lot of very wealthy people were invited. And Dr. Fosdick spoke about Alcoholics Anonymous from the preacher's viewpoint, and Dr. Foster Kennedy, a noted neurologist, spoke about it from the medical viewpoint, and I talked about life among the anonymi. And land's sake, then we thought there'd be some talk about money, and to our consternation, Nelson Rockefeller got up, his father not being there, and said, well, my father is more deeply impressed with this than almost anything that has crossed his life, and he wanted his friends to learn about it. But fortunately, Alcoholics Anonymous is a thing that does not need money. And about $1 billion got up and walked right out the door, and we didn't have a dime. Well, those are some of the yarns of the early days, and as everybody here knows, little by little, this thing spread from one place to another. Finally, Jack Alexander wrote a piece in the Saturday Post, and that produced an avalanche of inquiries, 5,000, 6,000 of them. And many of them came from these southern towns down here, and they began to write the office, and we began to shift literature. And alcoholics from the Cleveland and Akron and New York groups began to float down through this country and out west. It actually traveled over to the West Coast in the mail. And that was the genesis of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is the process that is kept on so that it can produce the kind of thing we see here tonight. Indeed, what has God wrought? Well, out of this experience of living and working together, we have begun to evolve some of the principles of relationship. The problem of recovery for any alcoholic who is capable of trying is fairly well settled, as this meeting testifies. Now the thing that concerns us most in Alcoholics Anonymous